Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Zach from the band Candy. They have a new album, Heaven Is Here, out on Relapse Records, June 24th. When we're recording this, the album is out, not out yet. By the time you hear it, chances are the album will be out. So, but before, you know, we get into all of that, where are you guys right now? Michael, let's start with you. Where are you at?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, right on. At home, I assume, it looks like?
I am, yeah.
Awesome. And Zach?
I'm in Joshua Tree. Doing some work.
Awesome. Are you able to say what the work is, or is it
just some construction work, really?
Okay.
Nothing too exciting.
Word. Well, okay, so the record, Heaven Is Here, was you dropped the artwork, you dropped the song. You guys must be pretty hyped on the release of this record, man. It's been a long time coming. How hyped are you guys right now?
I'm really excited. It really has been a long time coming. We've worked on it, through a lot of different phases in our lives. And it's gone through a lot of different phases and versions and variations. So, I'm really excited for people to be able to hear it. It's kind of, it's surreal to think that it'll be out by the time people are listening to this. And from when we're recording, like, I guess like about a week away.
Kind
of hasn't fully sunk in, I'd say, for me at least.
Zach, how about you, man?
Same. I think we're super psyched. I think this record for us is just like a culmination of everything we've been striving for since we started the band. And it finally feels like we've reached a point where we have like, where we've hit that. And we're just psyched to share it with everyone.
That's rad, man. Well, we're stoked to hear it. And like I said, by the time you hear this, you probably hear it. So if you're just checking out Candy for the first time now, go and stream that record. Come back to this and or listen to it after you're done with this interview, rather. So you guys dropped the artwork. Now, this is one thing that always goes hand in hand with Candy, is this beautiful, crazy, chaotic artwork. Who did the painting? And this is it's pretty evil looking. What was the inspiration and who did it?
The painter's name is Andrew Barnes. And I think Zach can correct me on this, but he's from Seattle, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he is, I believe.
And he's Zach and his girlfriend, Rachel, found him a long time ago, or made contact with him. And we loved his, the style of work he does, that like crazy, super detailed oil painting thing. And, he kind of, in his own paintings, has this like, yeah, it's like this like high art look, but doing this, like, this like kind of dirty or this dirty subject matter. And, we really like that. And we kind of, from the beginning, had some ideas of what we wanted our album art to be for each of these, releases that he's like worked with us on, and just felt like his art kind of inspired us. And then we had certain ideas, and I think it's like a really cool, it's been really awesome working with him. It's been a really good give and take. And I think his visuals fit our music really well, and vice versa.
That's awesome. That's like a total partnership there. And I will say, you know, like, Zach, did you want to butt in there?
We actually found Andrew Barnes through another artist that we were trying to work with when we got our first record cover painted.
Yeah.
His name is Jesse Edwards, and he put us on to Andrew, which are their friends. And then we just made a strong connection with Andrew. And like Michael said, I feel like he really just gets the vibe we're going for. And through every painting we've done, just like this one, they've gone through different iterations and we've given him an idea. It goes from A to B and then somewhere in the middle of that. And then we give him a little more info and direction. And then he comes back with something like completely finished. And it's just like, it's insane. I think he's super talented and we're like super grateful to be able to work with him.
100%.
So, you know, while the image is striking and it stands out, I will say, you know, and I'm speaking for myself here, I'm not a musician, but it seems like it's a risk to not have, you know, the big bold out like band name, you know, right there, like, you know, Candy with like some images here, but just like the big bold, like, so when you're flipping through records at the store or whatever, like that, you know, big logo. Is that something that you guys are specifically just like, let's just take a risk and do something and have a total visual image of something different? Was that a risk at all?
I never even thought about it as a potential risk until right now.
Okay. Sorry to put that thought in your mind.
Yeah, we got to go back. We got to scratch everything.
Yeah, I think it's working for you guys all right, though. I see a few already sold out. So.
Yeah, I think there was an original version of this album where we were talking about doing some album like a title somehow incorporating it. And I think sure. I think it was Andrew that said that we just shouldn't, or maybe it was Callie DeWitt who did the inner layout, which is like the inner sleeve design, I guess you call it, which is in my opinion just equally as cool as the outside. Mm-hmm. It might have been him actually that said that we shouldn't do it. And I think we agreed with him. And I think that we, at least for myself, like, I think we're saying literally everything that we need to say with that, yeah, with that album cover, like visually, like we don't need to have the name on it. It's distinctive enough and yeah, it represents the music enough. And yeah, I think it says everything we need to.
Definitely. Callie DeWitt is another artist we work with, like Michael said, and I brought the painting over to his house to show him as a reference, the physical copy of it. And it's like 6 foot long, like 3 foot tall. And we rolled it out at his house. And as soon as he looked at it, he was like, this is amazing and yeah, incredible. And I don't want to do anything that impedes on it. It's like, this is it. So he just like, he felt strongly about it as well. And I think, just as we have with our other records, like we were super hyped on it and we felt it spoke for itself.
Yeah. You got to be thankful your record label didn't say, hey, we got to put a Candy logo in Comic Sans here on top of it. You know,
I mean, yeah, for sure.
We're definitely thankful for that.
Yeah.
So speaking of your record label, Relapse, this is your first LP on Relapse. Big label, obviously well known for, you know, death metal, grindcore, underground music, but then they also have nothing. They have, you know, electronic music. They've really branched out. It's just an awesome underground. They just support underground artists. Can you tell me about how the relationship with Relapse kind of started?
I don't remember exactly how the conversation started because it was so long ago that we sure initially started talking to them. But in the beginning stages, we were mainly interacting with this guy. I guess he's the president. I don't know his exact title. His name's Rennie. He's who we talked to initially and for a really long time in the beginning stages of trying to decide what to do, was who we were contacting there and was contacting us. And like you said, like Relapse really does support and has supported like independent, like crazy music. And Rennie, the more we talked to him, the more we felt kind of an alignment of like his tastes personally and what we were interested in. And we found that, I mean, there was a lot of bonus, you know, there was like a lot of potential upside to working with Relapse for a band like us regardless. But then the more we talk to Rennie, we find that ourselves as a band and then him and then some of the people that work there have like a lot of just similar taste, which maybe is like unsurprising to listeners, but we didn't really know going into a bigger a label situation with like more resources and a bit more responsibility, not so much like handshake deal kind of situation. So once we kind of made that connection and we're just talking about tattoos or cool old records we liked and all that stuff and saw that we could all kind of, we were all speaking the same language, we felt good about it. And that's really, I don't know, that's how it all started.
I imagine, you know, when you go into to do quote unquote business, and that's what it is business. You go in to do business with a label. You probably as an artist have your guard up like, all right. And then as you start to have these conversations, you can take your guard down. Like, okay, they're good people. They have good taste.
They'll treat us.
They'll treat us like artists. They'll appreciate the art. We're not just a dot, bottom line for them. You know, so. That's great. I'm curious about the pandemic effect on the band. Did it affect you guys at all? Like, was there, you know, did that affect the recording of the album, or, you know, I guess just how did the pandemic affect Candy?
It definitely affected us. I think it affected us all individually, as it did everyone that experienced it. And then it definitely affected the band in that, like, we all live, each person in Candy lives in a different state. So 5 different states for each member.
Can you name the states?
Right now it's like Virginia/New York for me, mm-hmm. New Jersey, Georgia, California. Is that it?
And then Buffalo, New York, which is
up. So 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. And so we had always seen each other still constantly before the pandemic, because we were on, we toured so much and mm-hmm. worked on music so much that, I mean, we didn't really go like a month without all seeing each other in person. The pandemic hit, and obviously we didn't see each other for at least a year, like years, I guess.
Have you guys seen each other yet?
Yeah, we have now. Okay. We've played some. Okay. We recorded the record and then played some shows. So we have now. But before we recorded it, it had been a long time, probably a year, I guess. And just like not being able to talk to each other in person in group settings at shows. You know, we would, like, in the past when we would write stuff, we would play a show, a certain part would hit really hard or fall flat, and we'd be in the van afterwards being like, wow, we need more like this, or we need to adjust this. And that always like factored so naturally and so easily into the writing process. And then with the pandemic, that didn't happen. So it was a lot more sending stuff back and forth, and like, you know, some people couldn't respond, and it was hard like to all get on the same page, but we eventually did. But that was hard with the writing, and then just the isolation I think that we all experienced was, I've seen some people comment that the new record is, you know, bleaker or more intense. And I think that can all be basically traced back to the pandemic. I mean, we always want to go further with every record into something.
Yeah.
And I think the intensity and the bleakness came from the situation that we were all living through with the pandemic.
Zach, anything to add?
No, I mean, yeah, he hit the nail on the head. It was just, we have, as a band, being everybody in 5 different states, we face enough like problems and like obstacles to writing new music. And we really count on those times, like the couple days after tour or before tour or the nights after the show, and like to like really get to know our songs better and like the direction that we want to go. And like those like days and hours really make a difference for us, like in person. And without that, it definitely changed a lot, and it made everything so much harder to do. And like, I'm on a different time zone. It's hard to communicate with everybody. Like, it was definitely a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of doubt. It was we already knew it was going to be, it was taking longer than it was taking a long time to move forward with another record, just trying to pick direction and figure out, you know, we just wanted to make something we could be proud of, and we didn't want to rush it. So we were taking our time anyways. And then the pandemic hit, and there was just genuinely a lot of questions about whether we'd be able to pull it off and actually get another record out, just because you know, we didn't know the situation in the world and we didn't know when we'd be able to see each other or get into a studio or play shows, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
So when you were finally able to meet up and record the record, where'd you guys go?
We went to, I forget the name of the studio, but it was in Philadelphia with his name's Arthur Rizik.
Of course, legend.
He's a legend for sure.
Talked with Max Cavalera recently. He was praising, you know, Arthur Rizik too. So
Arthur, yeah, I mean,
he deserves it.
He does. I think anyone that works with him would praise him. We went and we recorded for like a week with him.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, that's rad. So I'm curious about, you know, you guys come from the world of underground hardcore and stuff. And, you know, let's start with you this time. How did you get into underground music? You know, how did you get into this world that's not so, you can't hear it on the radio. You know, it's not on MTV. Did you have a cooler older brother? Or did you just kind of stumble upon it? How'd you find it?
Just really through skateboarding, honestly.
Ah.
Through skate videos and hanging out with older kids just at school who skateboarded, and it kind of just spiraled from there. Like watching skate videos, that was the first time I heard like Minor Threat and Bad Brains and like even like more aggressive stuff like Joan Jett, like that. Yeah. Like I was like, damn, this is like
CKY.
Yep. That's all that. So that just like it spiraled from there. And then at the time I started seeing like Hatebreed on Headbangers Ball. Yep. And like that. And then it just spiraled from there. And my friend's older brother would take us to shows a lot. And like,
awesome.
I am really lucky with that. And he was the only one that would take us to the city and like to the annoying skate parks and all that. So really just skateboarding.
Well, what was your first favorite, you know, hardcore band? Do you remember?
My first favorite, I don't know. I really like Minor Threat and Bad Brains like struck a chord with me, but like, I don't know if those were my favorite. I definitely got into like more contemporary stuff at the time, but nothing notable.
Fair enough, man. Well, Michael, how about same question for how'd you get into it and what were you drawn to?
Really, really similar experience, honestly, just like older kids in the neighborhood, in my neighborhood, just kind of put me on to, hardcore and started taking me to shows. I'm from Richmond, and it's
great hardcore scene there. A lot of really good bands come from that area.
Yeah. It's for a really, really long time has had a really like rich scene for hardcore, punk and metal, like even before I was born. And, I mean, I'm not from anywhere else, so I don't really know the experience, but I do. It's a really small city, and extreme music is one of the few things that is kind of a notable export. So I think a lot of kids, even if they don't get into hardcore or punk, know about it because it's kind of a thing to do. Mm-hmm. Just as a high school kid, as a middle school kid or whatever. And I just had kids in my neighborhood, many of which didn't really get too into it, but when I was really young, they would take me to shows and stuff like that. And that's how I got into it. And just I really kind of fell in love with the honestly every aspect of it.
When I think of Richmond, I think of GWAR, I think of Lamb of God, I think of Strike Anywhere and Avail. When I say Richmond and you think music, what band do you think of first?
Avail would be one of them, and the other for me is probably a band called Down to Nothing.
Down to Nothing rocks.
Yeah, they were like huge for me. For the question you asked earlier, like a favorite hardcore band, like when I was getting into hardcore, they were easily my favorite band. I mean, I loved Black Flag and Bad Brains. Those were probably the first like early bands I got in, or older hardcore bands I got into, but the current, like Zach said, like I got into contemporary stuff really fast. I think that's what attracts a lot of like teenagers and stuff to it is the contemporary, the crazy shows, the local scene, all that stuff. And Down to Nothing was like they were the kings of Richmond, and it was awesome.
Hey, and when you're a kid having sleepovers
then and for a long time after, I mean,
When you're a kid having sleepovers, you can absolutely relate to hanging out is what we do best, dude. That's like the best.
Exactly. It was easy to relate to.
Exactly. Okay, guys. So obviously there's a lot of different influences with candy. You guys, you know, have it's hardcore, but it goes outside of that realm in different ways. What is an artist or a band that you love that people might be surprised of? Mike, let's start with you.
Oh man. Man, I listen to so much random stuff. It's hard to say. I'd say the Rolling Stones are my favorite rock band of all time. I think they're the best rock band ever. Maybe that'd be a surprising take if you listen just to Candy's music.
Sure. Nice. And Zach, what about you, man?
I don't know. The lines are so blurred now. I don't know if anything is surprising anymore.
Yeah.
But I'll go with the Goo Goo Dolls from Buffalo.
Dude, Metal Blade Records alumni, Goo Goo Dolls. That's a good point you bring up, man, is the lines are so blurred. You know, when I first got into hardcore, you know, I loved like Foo Fighters and stuff, but I wouldn't rep my Foo Fighters t-shirt because, you know, you might get side eye by the guy in that Shattered Rome show, you know. But now, you know, it's everything and everything is meshed together. Do you think that's a product of like, you know, streaming, or do you think that's a product of people just kind of growing up and getting wiser?
I think it's maybe both. Honestly, it's like the internet definitely changed a lot of those lines and like what was accessible to people, really. Mm-hmm. But also it's, as we get older, it's easier to like what you like and not feel judged by anybody.
I've never really thought about like what's making that happen. I have thought about how that is definitely a phenomenon that's like occurring. And I think candy is like, that's actually like one of our central things we're trying to, or like a central thing we believe that we try to like carry out in our music, is that like, hardcore is a genre just like anything else. It doesn't need to be kept off limits from anyone. It doesn't need to be sectioned off from other kinds of music. And, you know, there's like pop music that serves the function of a happy, good day. And then there's like, you know, hardcore on the other end, that if you're in a bad mood or you're feeling more energized or aggressive, you put that on. And we feel that it all can exist beside each other. But I honestly have never thought about why it's blending more now. I guess it is streaming.
Everyone, you know, is just one click away from, you know, checking out something and, you know, within a day. And now we're seeing tours with, you know, like hip hop groups like Suicide Boys and Code Orange and Knock Loose doing big arenas, you know, and it's kind of awesome, man. I think it's really cool that, you know, someone who likes Roddy Ricch can come see Knock Loose or something like that, you know, just an example. And then, you know, get turned on to something that's not, you know, I mean, there's arguments on both sides, but me personally, I think having a level playing field and just getting people stoked on good music is always a beautiful thing.
Agreed.
Right on, guys. Well, okay. So we all love, you know, band t-shirts. It's a big part of, you know, our culture and whatnot. I'm wearing like a Terminal Nation shirt today. Right. Okay. So, you know, some of us have too many of them. What was your first band t-shirt you ever purchased as a kid? Zach, do you remember?
It was definitely a terrible local band shirt.
Okay.
I think the band was called Guns of Camden.
Guns? What was that, metalcore?
Yeah, that would be a stretch.
Okay. Shout out Guns of Camden. All right. Sorry to bury you guys, but you know. Michael, what about you, man? Do you remember your first band t-shirt?
Oh man, honestly, it was probably either like a Down to Nothing shirt or maybe like a Naysayer shirt. Another band from Richmond that they were playing all the same shows, same time.
Yeah,
seen a lot when I was young.
Nice, right on. Mine was a No Doubt Tragic Kingdom t-shirt.
That's awesome.
I got at Target. So
that's a good one.
I still have it. I never sold it off, even though I could probably get $100.
Oh, if we're talking like early, I thought we were talking like.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm talking about just bands. Just rock.
Maybe a Sublime shirt or
there you go.
A shirt also from Target for sure.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, right on, guys. Well, you know, not to take up your whole day, but my last question is a question I like to ask everyone, even though it's kind of random. But, you know, Michael, let's start with you this time. Pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but tell us at least the story of how you got that scar. And then Zach will do you after this.
You can't really see it anymore because I got stitches after. But last summer I was in my house and this house and there was a fly flying around and I was trying to catch it with my hands and it flew in front of a window and I tried to catch it and I punched a hole in the window and had to get stitches all across my hand.
Jesus, dude, for the fly? Was the fly worth it?
No. And then I went to patient first. And when I got back, the fly was still flying around the house. So,
oh, just to taunt you, bro.
Joke's on me. It was really embarrassing.
He was laughing at you.
Definitely.
Zach, what about you, man?
I was painting before this, so I have paint all over my hands, but I have a scar. It's like a couple scars right here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cutting cinder blocks in the middle of winter, and somebody set the saw up. Something that was icy and it was spinning and spinning, and then every spin it slid a little bit further off the pallet that it was on, and I put my block on there and the whole saw, it was like, it's like 18 inch saw blade, it shot at my face and I jumped back, but it cut my hand open and I didn't really feel anything. I didn't know what happened, and then I just looked down and the snow was just covered in blood, and I looked down and my whole hand was like blown open, but
Jesus,
almost cut my thumb off, but luckily it was just a few stitches.
The pictures were gnarly.
It was pretty gross.
Have you ever considered using that as candy artwork?
No, but I'm not opposed.
Some piss grave style.
Exactly. Piss grave. Exactly. Yeah, man. I like
grossness.
It. Yep. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time, for humoring my ridiculous questions, and for just having fun with me today. The new record is out as you hear this, and the new album is called Heaven Is Here. It's on Relapse Records. Any final words, guys?
Thanks for having us, man. We'll be in Seattle, I think, August 30th with Vane.
Yes.
Should be a great tour. Yeah.
Right on.
Definitely
get out there.
Shout out to all the people we worked with on this record, Relapse and Arthur and Andrew Barnes and Callie. It wouldn't be possible without them. So thank you to them.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.